Tennessee Williams' Cat on a Hot Tin Roof takes us into the suffocating bedroom of a Mississippi Delta plantation where truth becomes the most dangerous commodity. The Pulitzer Prize-winning play unfolds during Big Daddy Pollitt's 65th birthday celebration, a gathering poisoned by secrets. A former football star drowns himself in whiskey, refusing to touch his beautiful wife. A patriarch celebrates beating cancer, unaware the diagnosis is terminal. And circling like vultures, family members scheme for inheritance while maintaining a veneer of Southern propriety. What makes this work revolutionary, even today, is Williams' unflinching portrayal of repressed desire, devastating honesty, and the elaborate architecture of lies we build to protect ourselves from painful truths. The bedroom setting, once shared by two bachelor friends, becomes both battlefield and confessional, where characters must finally confront what they've spent lifetimes avoiding. I feel all the time like a cat on a hot tin roof. With this declaration, Maggie introduces the play's central metaphor, desperate persistence in an unbearable situation. She prowls the bedroom, alternating between seduction and confrontation as she tries to reconnect with her alcoholic husband. What makes Maggie fascinating is her unapologetic honesty about her motivations, acknowledging her interest in Brick's inheritance while still expressing genuine love. Maggie's sexuality serves as both weapon and vulnerability. Her famous opening line reveals her constant agitation and unfulfilled desire. Yet beneath her feline qualities lies remarkable strength. "I'm not going to give up," she insists to Brick's indifference. By the final act, when she disposes of Brick's liquor and announces her fabricated pregnancy, we witness her transformation from desperate cat to determined woman. Her closing declaration, "Nothing's more determined than a cat on a tin roof," resonates as both personal manifesto and the play's statement about survival. If Maggie represents desperate vitality, Brick embodies beautiful ruin. A former football star drowning in alcohol, he moves through the play with detached contempt, his physical beauty intact while his spirit crumbles. His crutch for a broken ankle perfectly symbolizes his emotional crippling. Brick drinks methodically, waiting for the click when alcohol brings peace, reducing emotional relief to a predictable chemical reaction. The mystery driving the play is what broke this golden boy. We gradually learn about his relationship with teammate Skipper and how Skipper's death triggered Brick's downward spiral. His disgust with mendacity, the lies structuring social life, becomes his justification for withdrawal. Yet this moral stance masks deeper truths about his sexuality and role in Skipper's destruction. What makes Brick tragic is his awareness of his deterioration. When Big Daddy confronts him about drinking himself to death, Brick responds with chilling calm. "Yes, sir, I guess that's right." This self-awareness without self-preservation creates the play's most devastating figure, a man who sees his destruction but lacks the will to prevent it. Big Daddy Pollitt enters the play as a force in nature, crude, vital, and recently returned from what he believes was just a cancer scare. His defining trait is his hatred of lies. Having risen from poverty to wealth, he scorns social niceties, declaring, "The human animal is a beast that dies, and if he's got money, he buys and buys." This materialistic outlook masks his understanding of life's brevity. The confrontation between Big Daddy and Brick forms the play's emotional center. Unlike others who avoid discussing Brick's alcoholism, Big Daddy demands answers. "What are you disgusted with?" This creates the play's most honest exchange, with Big Daddy sharing his own disgust while pushing Brick towards self-awareness. The tragedy peaks when Big Daddy learns of his terminal condition. His rage, "Christ damn all lions, sons of lion bitches," expresses both personal fury and universal protest against mortality. What's devastating is that Big Daddy, who valued truth above all, was denied the chance to face his death honestly until too late. While the emotional triangle of Maggie, Brick, and Big Daddy forms the play's core, Gooper and May provide its social framework. As Big Daddy's elder son, Gooper represents conventional success, a lawyer with a growing family who has followed society's prescribed path. Yet Williams portrays this conformity as mercenary, with Gooper's concern for his father barely masking his interest in the inheritance. May embodies the play's most nakedly ambitious character, using her fertility as a weapon in the inheritance battle. Her constant parading of her no-neck monsters, as Maggie calls their children, before Big Daddy serves as her primary strategy, reminding him that only Gooper's branch produces heirs. What elevates these characters beyond simple villains is Williams' understanding of their perspective. When Gooper erupts with resentment over Big Daddy's preference for Brick, despite his lifelong efforts to please his father, we glimpse genuine pain. "I've always been second string in this house." The inheritance battle reveals how family relationships become transactional when wealth is involved, showing how capitalism infiltrates even our most intimate connections. At the heart of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof lies a subject revolutionary for 1955, the suggestion of homosexuality between Brick and his deceased friend Skipper. Williams approaches this theme with remarkable subtlety, never explicitly labeling the relationship, but allowing its emotional truth to emerge through confrontations. Brick and Skipper's relationship is described in mythic terms, one of those beautiful, ideal things they tell about in the Greek legends. Their tragedy unfolds when unacknowledged love collides with societal expectations. Skipper's failed attempt to prove his heterosexuality with Maggie leads to his drunken confession, a call Brick refused to accept. Both men's alcoholism suggests a shared inability to reconcile desires with social norms. Williams' power comes from his refusal to provide easy labels. When Big Daddy pushes Brick about Skipper, Brick responds, "Why can't exceptional friendship between two men be respected as something clean and decent?" This challenges audiences to examine their assumptions about male intimacy, while the repression of desire creates the play's central tragedy. The play's conclusion balances resolution with lingering questions. Maggie becomes the catalyst for change by announcing her fabrication of pregnancy with Brick's child, a determined bid to secure their future. "And then I'll bring you liquor, and we'll get drunk together, here, tonight, in this place that death has come into." Her desperate lie transforms into a possible path toward renewal. Williams provides no definitive answers about Maggie's success, Brick's recovery, or their marriage's future. Instead, the play ends with possibility, Maggie kneeling beside Brick, touching his face tenderly while asserting her determination. This open-ended conclusion reflects Williams' nuanced understanding of human nature. Rather than complete redemption or despair, the play suggests transformation occurs in small, uncertain steps. Even facing mortality, deception, and disconnection, human desire remains a powerful force for change. Cat on a Hot Tin Roof resonates because it captures universal struggles through unforgettable characters. It questions whether truth-telling is always virtuous and if some illusions might be necessary for survival. Like the titular cat, the characters cling tenaciously to life's hot surfaces, refusing to surrender despite the pain.